God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. This is a pause for a second. Let's pause. I'm so very grateful for you guys, for the AFR family that makes this work possible. And there's a thing I used to say, and I've never said it here. And that is, without you providing support, this program doesn't exist. So I'll just pause for a second and properly express gratitude to you in a way I don't think I've shared with you in this program. And we'll get into the news. No matter what I did in my life, no matter if it's big business or founding companies, God let me do so much. All God's doing, all preparation for today. Founding companies or raising venture capital money or what have you. Working at Microsoft, working in tech, all that stuff. No matter how interesting that got, God would still wake me with dreams of doing talk radio. And I hadn't been in it in a very, very long time. I would awake happy. I had a dream once that there was a national radio figure who needed to fill in on the spot. And I just happened to be in the building and someone said, hey, you used to do this, come in here. And I woke smiling. God equips us for things. And having left radio and spent all that time doing tech, and you know, internet radio is related to that, but God, I think, wanted me to do this. And I know that sounds preposterously arrogant, preposterously so. And I think it took a long time for him to wind down my ego so that I could say, I don't have any talent at all. I only have what God gives me. And now this program, as part of the AFR network, has you. So you're at least letting one guy live a dream. And to the people who've written to me and said that God is reaching them through the program, that right there, that makes it all worthwhile. That, and it's fun. It is not fun to see what's being done to our country. And the campus uprisings are not the thing. There is no chance, I think, that suddenly these students have woken up with a great, great, great caring for Gaza. They're being manipulated and agitated into these actions. And when I say the thing is not the thing, the real thing is to tear Americans apart, to put us at each other's throats. That's what they do in cultural revolutions. As Christians, we have to stand above this because we cannot hate our neighbor or our enemy. We have to love them all. But we are finding out who's who. And in this way, I just thank God for revealing who's who and what's going on at a spiritual basis and at a supposedly non-spiritual basis, although all things are spiritual. For instance, there's a company that wants to hire pro-Hamas rioters and protesters. The company's called HIMS, and they make or sell erectile dysfunction drugs and things that are supposed to help men grow back their hair, etc. And the founder of this company, Andrew Dudum, says he can't wait to hire these people because he says moral courage and a degree, lots of companies will be willing to hire you no matter the cost. Perhaps. You might want to look, though, Mr. Dudum, at the boards of Google and their parent company, Alphabet, and that they just had to fire a bunch of people because they decided to go in and try to take over the CEO's office because the CEO wasn't doing the right thing. You might understand that the thing is not the thing here, Mr. Dudum. Yes, I believe these kids think this is about Israel, but what this is about is destroying the country where you have founded your company, HIMS and HERS. It's about a system that lets you do that. And the system these kids are backing will not let you do that. Not unless you pay an enormous cost, far beyond that what you pay in taxes now, and I'd assume you have a bunch of accountants so you don't pay much in taxes. Most big companies figure that out. So I hope you'll think again about hiring people like this. People like this, what do I mean? Well, here is a little bit of evidence as to what parents are discovering. This is a Jewish parent of a Jewish UCLA student who taped a call with the UCLA Police Department.
So the university has taken a stance that they will not, in fact, allow or help Jewish students get to their classes, that this is going to be tolerated.
We've received a directive to not intervene at this time, yes.
Just so I know, at what point does UCPD get involved? Because if my child's safety...
If your son needs police assistance, and he can contact us.
So I'm calling and saying he needs police assistance to get into his class, that people aren't letting him into his class.
We're not forcing them to move out of the area. Like, if he's getting attacked or he has a police concern, then yes. But the fact that it's just locked off, they're not intervening with that right now.
So if he physically gets attacked, at that point, we should contact you.
All I'm saying is we're not blocking the entrances.
So you're allowing the protesters to block the Jewish students from going?
I'm not allowing it.
Yeah.
The school is saying that they will not be removed at this time.
So, to be clear, this included at some campuses, not necessarily UCLA, shouting Heil Hitler, go home Jew, spitting on people, and on the UCLA campus, and I didn't get to see what happened before, so I don't know the full context, a pro-Hamas rioter going after a guy with a taser. And it didn't look to me like this guy was fighting back. It looked like he was peaceful. So we're just clear on that. So the guy who says he's running this, the CEO of Hims and Hers, Adam Dudham, just know when you hire people like this, the expectation is they might come and tase you. But only if you do the wrong thing, but you'd never do that because you have right thing, correct? No, because the thing is not the thing. The thing is to tear America apart by putting people at each other's throats. This is now infamous. This audio is now infamous, as it should be. But keep in mind, this is not a freshman. This woman is a PhD candidate.
Why should the university be obligated to provide food to people who have taken over a building?
First of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in, unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
But they put themselves in that very deliberately in that situation and in that position. So it seems like you're sort of saying, we want to be revolutionaries, we want to take over this building, now would you please bring us food and water?
Nobody's asking them to bring anything. We're asking them to not violently stop us from bringing in basic humanitarian aid.
They're stopping the delivery of food?
We are looking for a commitment from them that they will not stop it violently.
But they haven't stopped it yet.
I don't know to what extent it has been attempted, but we're looking for a commitment.
All right, let's stop that. So she's a PhD candidate. So let's just go through this. This CEO of Hims and Hers, Andrew Dudham, says he wants to hire people like that who are going to take over his office if he ever has bad think. What's bad think? Bad think is whatever these kids are told is bad think. And then they'll take over his office and demand to be fed, even though there's restaurants and all the cafeterias on that campus were open at that time. There were drinking fountains. But someone who believes it's your job to take a cup of water and pour it down the throat of a person who has seized your property, that might not be the person you want working for you, but maybe it is. In which case, then you, Mr. Dudham, might well check why you believe what you believe. Now, this is brave. In fact, in a brave and stunning act, this young man tore up his valuable degree. And remember, you may be forced to pay off his college loans.
My name is Luz. I graduated from Cal Poly Humboldt in 2019 with a degree in critical race, gender, and sexuality studies. Today, I'm burning my degree in solidarity with the people at encampment in Intifada Hall, and more importantly, the people of Palestine. It's outrageous to see how the university and admin is handling everything and responding to the people exercising their First Amendment rights, call off the cops, meet the students' demands, and more importantly, free Palestine.
Critical race theory and gender studies, two things that will get you killed if you live under Hamas, if you act on them. Just so we're clear. And this is hiring material for Andrew Dudham at Hims and Hers. People who are burning a useless degree that other people are going to have to pay for, backing Hamas, an organization that would gleefully kill them. So the thing is not the thing. The thing is to divide America, to the point of getting down to dividing families, and we know this. I will say again, and this is perhaps the most controversial thing I say on this program, I don't want to be like the disciples believing that the Messiah will come and restore our governance to a moral and Christian governance. In their case, they were saying, is it now, Lord, that you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Peter asked the Lord this after the Lord had risen. Is it now that you restore the government to Israel? He may restore the United States into proper, godly hands for government leaders or for leaders of universities. He may do that. He may not do that. That may not be his priority. In fact, I would wager it's not his priority. I would wager his priority is far higher than that, and that has to do with eternal souls. So let's just, in my mind, be very clear that this may be the state of things. In fact, what if this is the beginning of the tribulation? It may be, we don't know. But it shouldn't change our focus. The Lord Jesus is coming back. He's with us now. The kingdom of heaven is here now. We cannot hate these people. We cannot hate our enemy. We must love our enemy. We cannot let the body of Christ be torn apart. And that's happening. The United Methodist Church just held an event where all the speakers stood up and said, hi, my pronouns are he, him. I'm an older white male. Other attendees stood up to announce with whom they have sex, effectively. Tearing apart the body of Christ. We cannot let that happen. We continue. A friend of mine, Dr. Duke Johnson, is a follower of Jesus, a discipled man. He has, with the grace of God and his partner, business partner, Mariah, have created a clinic in North Idaho that will not follow the insurance company diktats. And in fact, they have a device that they've purchased. It's a well-established device that could tell our troops, our cops, our teachers, people who were forcibly injected with the modified RNA gene sequencing devices, sometimes called COVID vaccines. It can tell them if they have myocarditis. Do you remember all those fraudulent PCR tests that governments and employers made people take that didn't tell anyone anything? This device can actually tell if you have asymptomatic myocarditis or pericarditis, or if you're likely to develop it. And it can tell you that in about 15 minutes. We should be requiring the government to step up and pay for tests like this for all people who were forcibly injected. I took the test, and you'll find out what it showed about my heart. I was a little surprised. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Just full disclosure, I serve on the nonprofit board of a medical center in North Idaho. It's called Heart of Hope Health. I don't make any money. I don't take any remuneration, nothing. I do this because of how it was founded. It was founded by a group of medical providers who refused to get the modified RNA gene sequencing devices, the COVID shots, which are, well, in order of importance, deadly to many, injurious to many, likely to continue to kill people. Andrew Briggan is an MP in the United Kingdom. He believes that these will kill more people than the Holocaust. I believe they already have. Three separate studies done three separate ways show that these shots have probably killed 17 million people. So these medical providers refused to get injected or to cause others to get injected, and they were, well, run out of the medical system. So with all this talent available, they started looking to how can we found our own medical center? We can't call it a clinic or a hospital because those are the rules. That's what the insurance companies and big governments have debated and found. When we founded this, and well, what Duke and Mariah did, it was founded upon medical freedom centered in Christ. It's a Christ-centered clinic, or pardon me, medical center. We recently purchased, well, it's called an MCG machine. It's a myocardiogram. This device can tell you if you have asymptomatic myocarditis. That's the stuff that's killing people suddenly, you know, died suddenly. That's very often the culprit. It's a swelling, an inflammation of the heart. Pericarditis inflames the area around the heart. It fills the sac around the heart. There's a whole bunch of other tendencies that people have in their hearts that they develop over time. This test can tell you if you're likely to develop these. I am on my podcast asking people to donate money to Heart of Hope Health to get first responders, military members, retired military members tested without charge. I'm doing this because these people were forcibly injected with these modified RNA gene sequencing devices, and they did that because they value protecting us. I believe we owe it to them. So you're about to hear an excerpt of an interview with my friend, Dr. Duke Johnson, MD. You can get the whole thing at thetoddhermanshow.com, including watching me take this test. It actually took about 15 minutes, and you'll hear part of what they discovered about my heart, and I was a little surprised. Dr. Duke Johnson was shocked by a 38-year-old with myocarditis early in his career.
You know, it's so interesting, Todd, because it's pretty obvious to someone who's been practicing medicine for a long time. I used to be a level one, level two trauma doc, Southern California, and I changed my career from being an ER doc to preventive medicine over 30 years ago because I had a 38-year-old male come in full cardiac arrest, which shocked me at that time period. Think of that. I was shocked by a 38-year-old because I hadn't been seeing that for the years that I'd worked in the ER. And now they're acting like, you know, teenagers, 20-year-olds going down having heart attacks. It's just, man, we don't know why it happens. I think that's pretty obvious.
So he, inspired by this, changed his career to be in preventative medicine and working with the creation of health supplements, etc. Led a huge supplement company, a multi-billion dollar supplement company. But his first love is helping people. And Dr. Duke Johnson believes the data shows the shots contributed to an increase in myocarditis in young people.
Certainly they played that this, when you look statistically, the numbers of cardiovascular, myocarditis, all of that stuff in young people has gone up astronomically in the same time period, beginning around 2020, 2021 especially.
And now, of course, we have the FDA forced to admit that there are cancer-causing DNA strands in these shots. There are. Incidentally, that same exact cancer-causing DNA strand was also in a polio vaccine. The same strand. You remember, of course, everybody go get tested. The PCR tests. If you wanted to fake having a bunch of people infected with the COVID flu, that's how you would have done it. Because what they chose to do with those tests to dial them up to these high cycle thresholds, it's called, is just like this. You could clean your kitchen meticulously. You could hire a team of cleaners. They could go through with bleach. They could go through with dusting agents, every nook and cranny. You could have 16 people clean your house. If I bring in a microscope and put it under your fridge and I turn that dial up, I'm going to come back and say, your house is filthy. And you'd have to agree. What they did with the PCR test was the same, there's an equivalent, but they forced everybody to take them. The government needs to make available these myocardiogram tests to our troops and first responders who were forcibly injected with this stuff. That's what we're doing at our medical center. That's why we're trying to raise money for this. Dr. Duke Johnson talked about the high PCR cycle COVID tests.
You know, it's so interesting. I even actually have a video from Dr. Fauci from the, I forget what year it was. It was before 2020. And he was talking to other immunologists. And on that video, he states, anytime you cycle above 35, all you're having is viral fragments. You can't draw any conclusions. And then all of a sudden, when people were reporting really high levels, suddenly in the fall of 2020, I contacted the lab and said, how many times are you cycling? And they said, oh, we're cycling at 40. And other places were cycling at 50. And knowing this video that I just watched, I said, well, who set it at 40? They go, we don't have any control over it. It comes from somewhere outside the lab as to why, how many times it cycles. So I never got the answer.
They could have set a standard rate. The CDC could have said, you don't test above 20 cycles, but they didn't. In fact, hospitals were paid money to find COVID, so they had every reason to turn these tests up. So this MCG device, it's made by a company called HeartCare Corp, and the device is intense. What it does, and it looks at our heart. And again, it took me 15 minutes to have this done. We could be doing this to everybody who was forcibly injected. Kids could go get this. I think school districts that force children to get injected should be on the hook for this, but not the taxpayer. It was the unions who backed this and pushed it. They should have to pay. The MCG device Dr. Johnson used on me looks at a full picture of our hearts.
A lot of established cardiology is really focused on the macrovasculature. In other words, the big blood vessels. That's, you know, so if you go in and get an angiogram and they go, wow, your coronaries are clear, go home and you're fine. And then there have been a lot of people who died not long after getting angiograms like that that were supposedly clear. I've been looking for a device that would basically be able to say, let's look at the microvasculature. Let's look at what's going on inside the heart, you know, in the individual cells itself. And this was developed by a cardiologist who happened to also be a brilliant mathematician. So he could write algorithms for individual cells and their electrical activity. And that's a gifting that not a lot of people have. It's been around for 20 years over, and there has been research done on about four different continents around the world. And over 2 million people have had this testing done, and we found out about it and thought, wow, I want to get this machine. Because a lot of the electrical stuff that's out there, a lot of the devices that are out there are just kind of smoke and mirrors, and they play games with that.
They also require you sometimes to have radioactive material in your body. This doesn't require it. I'm not trying to sell this machine. I don't work for HeartCare Corp. I don't make a dime in working with Heart of Hope Health in Idaho, not a dime. My sole purpose in this is I want to pressure the government to make sure our troops, our teachers are put through these tests so they don't wake up dead. Because that's happening too often and it's going to continue to happen. So as Dr. Duke said, this device is actually well established and recognized.
To show the legitimacy of this device, I think it was the American Heart Association. I'm not 100% sure which organization, but I think it was the American Heart Association, and I think it was 2017, voted it the innovative device of the year. And in that same year, Samsung voted it in as the cost savings device of the year. So that's why a lot of people haven't heard about it, because it doesn't cost much, and it tells us a lot. So if you race down to your cardiologist, they're going to say, no, if it were good, I know about it. No, a lot of decisions are made based on money. And so it's something that doesn't involve radiation, et cetera.
That's Superior. So I had the test. I laid down in my podcast studio. They brought the table in. We took a video of it. You can see that at thetoddhermanshow.com if you're curious. And I was surprised. So here's how I came out in the test. So this is clip number 10, Adam. This is how
I came out. You're actually looking very good. you know, there's two different measurements that we look at. We're looking at myocarditis. In other words, how inflamed is the heart? How damaged is the heart? Okay. And you, there's two different scales we use. We use a letter grading, and we also use a numerical value. And so the system goes from A to H and ranked you as a D, but numerically, the range goes from 0 to 21, and you ended up being 3.6. And the numerical is a much more indicative idea of where you're at and who you are.
Now, I was a little surprised by that. I was expecting to have no myocarditis at all, given my diet, my nutritional focus, the amount of exercise I do. So I was surprised to learn I do have a little myocarditis.
The first thing I look at is there myocarditis? And we do have some myocarditis, okay? And it's actually 5 out of 5, but, and it has caused some heart damage, 5 out of 5. But again, keep thinking of 3.6. I mean, in other words, it's very sensitive. It can pick this up. And it's been going on, I know, for more than 2 years because we're seeing that your heart has tried to start repairing itself, and it takes a couple of years to do that. So what we're doing is we're looking at heart disease 10 years in advance, basically. So, I mean, in other words, everyone's going to have some just living in this world.
So we talked afterwards, Dr. Duke Johnson and I, about that because I was very surprised. I had just done a workout week wherein I worked out a total of 40 hours. And part of that was a 10 and a half hour workout with and weights and swimming and running and carrying around 60 pounds. So it was a very intense weekend and week. And Dr. Johnson said that could contribute to it. But then he heard me discussing a product I use now, a new product, an omega-3 I use. And he said, wait, you were taking that much ibuprofen? I said, oh, yeah, now I'm off of it. I don't think it was. Well, there you go. He goes, Todd, you can't go around taking ibuprofen like that. He goes, I want to retest you in a few months. And I'll bet you now that you don't take ibuprofen, I bet you that's all going to go away. So the fact is that the heart can heal itself under the right circumstances.
Two different main pathways that we can go down with as far as how the heart repairs itself, either the cardiomyopathy pathway or the hypertrophy pathway. The myopathy is where the heart is kind of like stretching and getting bigger and bigger, like, you know, the heart failure pathway.
Yeah.
Or super thick ventricles and all that stuff. That's what we would call the hypertrophy. You're not going down the hypertrophy, you're going down the cardiomyopathy, but this is so early, it probably wouldn't be picked up. And it's such a low number, it probably wouldn't be picked up on an echo.
And an echocardiogram. So can you see why I want our troops to get these tests and our kids and our teachers, frankly, everybody who was forcibly injected or people who did it on their own, who just bought into the hype that pharma was pushing? Because I do not want people sitting around with passive asymptomatic myocarditis, airline pilots. Dr. Duke Johnson, you're hearing me talk with him. He's heard from many airline pilots who are terrified to get their hearts tested. Because if it turns out they do have myocarditis, they're not going to be allowed to fly. The FAA knows what's going on. They absolutely know what's going on. They have loosened the rules so that pilots with worst heart conditions are flying planes. Dr. Duke Johnson and others, Dr. William Madison, Canada, others are tracking these injuries, pilots passing out, sometimes sadly dying, not yet causing an accident, praise God, as far as we know. But they are afraid to get tested. This can't stand. And in our case, we're doing everything we can to give private secret tests to pilots to help them correct their hearts. And I'm skipping forward a little bit here, Adam, in the playlist. Like any doctor who's willing to be honest, Dr. Johnson has seen far too many people injured after being forced to take the modified RNA shots.
So I know patients who just got COVID, they didn't even get the shot, and they just got COVID, and they started having abnormal heart rhythms. And one gentleman was a great athlete, came in after 21 months of having abnormal heart rhythms, and everyone told him that he's going to need an ablation, et cetera. And he goes, how can I do what I do athletically and need an ablation all of a sudden? He kept putting that off, We treated him, all of his abnormal heart rhythms went away. So we know that the spikes themselves do cause, as you mentioned earlier, some irritation of the heart. And there are treatments that we can do to help people with a lot of those symptoms.
So again, this is called Heart of Hope Health in Hayden, Idaho, Heart of Hope. And they can only help people who come to Idaho. The device is from Heart Care Corp. It's called a myocardiogram. I beg you to go to your state legislators and say, we should be funding this for our troops, but not we. We should get this money from Pfizer, Moderna, and the scientists at the FDA who took a percentage of profits from their backers in pharma, and from scientists at the CDC who got written checks for these patents. Not from the CDC, not from the taxpayer. We should get it from the school unions who conspired to force kids to get shot up, and employers who forced people to get shot up should pay too. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. We'll get to the Tower of Babbling in just a moment and take our traditional way of wrapping up the show with a personal observation from me. This time I got to tell you about Grandpa Morrow. I've told you about my dad and a little bit about my mom, and I do this, it's a trade. And you're so kind to spend all this time with me and with this program and with AFR and to commit financial resources as a monthly donor, so that we can do this and give you information like we just did that you're not going to get on the Mockingbird Media. I do this so that you understand a little bit about the rodeo clown sitting here hosting the show, because I think that's fair. First, one bit of news. Tulsi Gabbard responded to rumors of President Trump selecting her as his VP candidate.
If that call came, I would say yes, and I'd be honored to serve my country in that way and to be in a position first to help win this election, to stop the Democrat elite from destroying our country, and then actually begin the real work of getting our country back on track.
Let's really be careful about shiny objects. And I'm not calling her a shiny object. I will tell you, she's photogenic. The camera loves her. She's very good on film. She has a military background. We have to be honest about these factors. Attractive people do better in politics. That's just, sadly, is true. And she's a shiny thing. Not thing is that she's created by God. I hope that she'll come to know the Lord. But she's not a constitutionalist. And I don't know that she is, well, what she is now deciding to present as. I don't know, and I don't know that she's not. There's a lot of topics on which she is way, way off. One of President Trump's weaknesses, and we must admit this, huge weakness, is team building. It's really interesting that the guy who's famous for the show, The Apprentice, all about finding the right hire through trial and error and putting people through these tough tests. I mean, that's actually a pretty cool way to find somebody. That's actually kind of cool. I mean, there's the TV show aspect of it. So some of it's kind of faked up. But in his team in politics, he didn't always pick well. In terms of VP, who would she be bringing to the table? I guess maybe some disaffected Democrats, smart move. But what state does she bring to the table? So I hope the president will think hard about that. I would love to actually sit with Tulsi Gabbard, because I would have a very specific question I would ask Tulsi. And I think it would help me determine to what degree she's actually had these changes of heart. Under Disciples' view, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciples' View presents...
And I hope that... I think that Prime Minister Xi, she has some difficulties right now.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites that I think prove the point that we just made about the Tower of Babbling. Nicole Wallace at MSNBC remembers how President Trump imprisoned all those journalists and commentators during his first term.
Because depending on what happens in November, 7 months from right now, this time next year, I might not be sitting here. I might not be a White House correspondents dinner or a free press.
I get this game really well. This is a game that I'd played back in the day when I didn't care as much about, well, being a servant of the Lord. I wasn't discipled. It's a fun game. It's a game where you pretend like your show is just at risk because of a tyrant. Now, there have been legitimate attempts sometimes to take people off the air. There was a legitimate attempt to take Rush Limbaugh off the air. There was a legitimate attempt to destroy Alex Jones. There was a legitimate attempt to get me off the air at one point. The corrupt Attorney General Washington State made that. But that was all stuff that was very, very obvious. President Trump had opportunities to do that. He was president once. He didn't do that. There is, however, an entire censorship industrial complex that's not necessarily taking people off the air, but they are shadow banning. But Nicole Wallace isn't concerned about that because they're shadow banning the people with bad think. Next soundbite in today's Tower of Babbling. The White House spokesliar said words apparently arranged to mean things to someone somewhere in regard to the pro-Hamas anti-Jewish riots at Columbia University.
Yeah. Is the answer no, the administration has not been in touch with anyone at Columbia?
I don't have any readout. I should have answered that in, I believe that was Jeff's question. I don't have any calls to read out to you of conversations with any university, university leaders at this time.
I don't have any calls to read out. So did the figurehead talk with them? I don't have any calls to read out. There was an attempt to oust that woman from her job. Well, pardon me. I mean, individual. I clearly don't know that's a woman. Somehow they can't because her qualifications are far too advanced, too clear, too stellar. After all, she is a person, individual who somehow believes she's a woman. And she expresses blackness and is same-sex attracted. Those are stellar. Fascinating. There's a little pattern here I'm noticing in today's Tower of Babbling. These are all liberal women who in one degree or another are, well, kind of uniquely lost, to use a kind phrase. I don't know that this woman is lost as much as she is being used to channel unbelievable amounts of evil. Nancy Pelosi did not care for Katie Turr daring to ask a follow-up question about figurehead Biden's silly claim that he's a job-creating machine.
Donald Trump has the worst record of job loss of any president. So we just have to make sure people know.
That was a global pandemic.
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other concerns in our country. If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, that may be your role.
that is really good. Pardon me. That is really good radio. That's really good video. I have to describe it to you. Just give me a second to describe this to you. When Katie Turr says there was a global pandemic, Nancy Pelosi's face goes white and then wide and then Botox dead. There's no emotion. She repeats the talking point, but with more emotion. And then levels an accusation that an MSNBC host is an apologist for President Trump. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I'm just following my orders here.
On a Disciple's View.
We usually wrap up the show with a just a personal observation from me, so you get a chance to know more about the Rodeo Clown who hosts this program, and you're so kind to support AFR with your monthly donations, and being in that, making it harder and harder and harder to keep God's word out of conversations in media because of the size that God has grown AFR to represent. So growing up in Eastern Washington, in North Idaho, in this area, I had a grandpa, great-grandpa, who made his way across the country actually in a covered wagon. He actually did that. And I had to go and fact-check all this stuff. Because I think I told you a little bit about my dad and Grandpa Morrow, and that Grandpa Morrow, there were these legends that grew up around Grandpa Morrow. I grew up with. He won his land in a poker game, etc. And I found out later that was never true. That was a mind blower. It really upset me because I loved that legend of Grandpa Morrow. But he did actually come across the country in a covered wagon. He did keep that covered wagon. That covered wagon is now the property of the Smithsonian Institute. And Grandpa Morrow was of an era where men were rough. He had a Bible in his home. I remember that, and his wife, my great-grandma, she would read from the Bible. And I remember seeing it and being very, very curious about it. But they never proselytized. In fact, I don't know that Grandpa knew the Lord, great-grandpa. I pray he did. I don't know that he did. His wife did. And it was on her bed. I never knew her other than as the grandma whose bed was in the front room. I didn't get to know her before she reached that stage of life. I remember that. I remember walking into their farmhouse, and man, it was a farmhouse. And she would be either in that bed or not far from it, but the Bible was always right there. So I know she knew the Lord. I bet she worked on great-grandpa. But great-grandpa was the character of all characters. That's not true. One time he came to our home and he wore a suit jacket and a white shirt with his overalls underneath. They were his farming overalls, and he had his nice overalls. That's who he was. I have a picture of me sitting on his lap. I was about 5 years old in those overalls and in that jacket, by the way. Grandpa Morrow was this sort of man. Went up to his farmhouse one day with my dad. My dad just adored his Grandpa Morrow. And got out of the car and came running up and talked to Grandpa Morrow. And he had a throat condition. So it was difficult for him to speak, but it added to this character. He was this guy I never knew without gray hair. I guess, yeah, he had gray hair. That's cool. I have gray hair like Grandpa Morrow did. No one else in my family does. I got that from Grandpa Morrow. I just realized that. So he's standing by his electric fence in his osh gosh bagosh overalls. And he says, come over here. So I come over. What's good? Hi, Grandpa. And he was holding the electric fence. Hold this. And he's holding it. So I did what my great grandpa told me to do. I grabbed it and got this insane jolt because I got shocked. And great grandpa goes, do it again. Then I asked my dad later, how does Grandpa Morrow do that? He says, your great grandpa doesn't have any feeling in his hands, really. He's beating them up through his work in the shipping business and farming. And he's just used to touching those things. So him, it doesn't hurt. You would think that would be cruel, right? There was something about the way Grandpa did it that it didn't contain any cruelty, but he could be a hard man. He absolutely could be a hard man. My, this would be cousin, was set to pitch a baseball game. First time he got to start as the pitcher. And he told Grandpa Morrow, I'm pitching today. I will take care of the plowing after. And Grandpa Morrow said, no, you won't. No, you will not work before play. You will go plow the lower 20 or you will not come home. So my cousin hurried down and he pushed that horse and he plowed and he got it done. But the horse died. He went to the baseball game. He came back. He walked up to confess to Grandpa Mar what would had happened. Grandpa listened and then punched him in the face and knocked him out. And he doesn't know how long he was out. He knows it was for a long time. When he woke up, he went down and he took care of the horse's body and he came back up and never again did they speak of it, not one time, but never did my cousin ever think to even tacitly defy Grandpa. It's the only time he ever touched him physically, ever, but he knocked him cold. So the memory I have of Grandpa Mauro, which is most outstanding, there's two of them. One is funny, although it's a little bit gross. The other is a thing of beauty. Grandpa Mauro, as he got on in years, was headed for that same bed. Remember I told you my great-grandma, she was the grandma I knew whose bed was in the front room. Grandpa was headed there. And they put him first in a nursing home. Grandpa hated it. Hated it. Complained every second he was in there and no one would take him out. My dad was the only one of the family members who wanted to take Grandpa out of there. Let him die at home. So Grandpa got himself out. This is the gross part. One day a nurse came in and she was checking. She needed a urine sample. So she handed my grandpa the cup and left the room. And she came back and the cup was very dark, as if my grandpa was very dehydrated. And this is the gross part. And she said, "Wow, you're really cloudy today. We need to get you some liquids." And he said, "Let me run it through again." And this is the gross part. He drank it. It was apple juice. Grandpa had been storing it up next to his body so it was good and warm. He got kicked out. He died in that bed. The memory I most have of Grandpa Mauro is standing in a field of lilies. I have a picture of it because it was his land bought with his money where he raised his family and where he and his wife would be buried. Praise God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. Until we all speak again, courtesy of God, may His peace that surpasses all understanding wash over you and your families. On behalf of AFR and today, Adam doing a great job filling in, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.